B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's esoteric. The star with the ugly guy first. First up, Tony Mazz. You look better in a goldie mask. I'm glad I hear you and I see you with your homely ass. You a Yankees fan, man, that disturbs me. You're worth it, worth less than a Zolak jersey.
I'm right there with you.
Sup, Zol? I guess you kind of went pro. You got a show because every game in the 90s you had front row. And Mark Bertrand Beetle, I saw it firsthand. Donuts, he all about looking like a Spurs fan. Wallach, he ain't smart. Reading stats on flat tops. Looking like an eagle, he could be the BC mascot. Cut the mic on Michael Felger, Brighton early. Kid. I'm a son of kind of like Michael Hurley did. Your hot takes are kind of cold instead. Jimmy Hayes had you shaking in your Nantucket Reds. Is it Big Jim Murray or Bald Jim Murray? Hat always on his dome. He's unknown like Adam Jones. Piece of TNR. I'ma let him slide because I got nothing written. Just kidding. Oh, Rich, you get Fred out the way because today I got to use my rap AK and spray. Rich certainly, but geek needing confidence. Always on Twitter, man, retweeting compliments. Yeah, I heard about your league meeting dominance, but when I'm in the car, man, it doesn't reach Providence. I know you do your best to entertain, but get a brain. You're as funny as Kevin James, Rich. And Freddie T, I don't got a lot for you, except maybe that your wife is too hot for you. The way that you be dressing, man, that is what not to do. Looking like a dingbat, sounding like a big cat. I'm saying that everybody plays the fool. That's appropriate for Fred at the JCC pool. Catch him on Comcast, looking half homeless. A legend in his own mind, like Johnny Gomes is.
Ah, the great esoteric. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones in with us this morning, and
he really just glazed over the night show.
Well, I would say that maybe was because he respected you so much.
Scared of possible retorts by you? I mean, we all have seen your rapping or heard your rapping skills, Jones.
Yeah.
You came out of nowhere. You blindsided everyone during 98 Mile.
That's probably it. That's a good point.
Yeah. One of the more shocking.
Didn't want to get in the ring. That makes sense.
It was one of the more shocking 98 Mile moments when Adam Jones, his first year, came in, and I forget who you were going against. It was probably like
Keith
or something like that.
It was against Keith.
And he said, you know, because I reach out to everybody and I say, you know, I usually ask, hey, what song do you want to do it to? I'll get the music bed ready to go. And Adam Jones said, I'll do Bombs Over Baghdad. And I went, what? Like, you know how fast he raps on that? Like, you really want to do that? Because you get people in there and sometimes it takes like forever to edit them. And I got no problem doing it. It's kind of fun to do, but I mean, there's people who are all over the place and I'm like, all right, I'll make it work. I'll add the things to the beats and I'll move everything around. And so Adam Jones comes in and he's like, you know, I like after our show, and I'm like, all right, Adam, you ready to record this? And he goes, yeah, sure. He puts his headset on and nails it in two takes. Like, nails it in two takes. I was like, oh my God. Do you know? I mean, that song, like, I almost told him, don't do this one. Just don't do it. It's way too damn fast. And he was able to pull it off. I'm gonna see if I can find that.
And then Roachie spanked me around in round two.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, he's the people's choice. You can't. Roachie was.
Oh, he's hugging Wally's.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Are they sending him down, by the way, to spring training?
I don't know.
Did he get screwed again?
I mean, I would think. I mean, spring training is a whole different animal this year. I don't know if they're letting media near them or what's going on. I would think if I'm Dan, as much as I want to go because it's Florida and it's baseball and I can watch people throw baseballs around, I mean, you don't get the full experience, I don't think.
Any outlet, are you sending people?
That's the thing. I'm
like,
not sure.
For baseball?
Yeah.
I don't know who's really excited about it. I guess that's, you know, a decent point. But yeah, I'm not quite sure. The one thing that the reason I'm asking is that makes his year. Like, that was his favorite perk of the job, was to be able to go to spring training
on the sidewalk. Yeah. Morning. Yep. Good day for baseball.
PFP morning. Today. PFP. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. They're going to be covering first base back. Yep. I think they're playing Pepper today.
Let me check. Is this it right here? Is this?
Yes.
This was pretty good.
Shocked the hell out of me.
Rich Keefe sucking.
Yeah, Keefe is laughable. Wendy works such a jerk. I miss Chucky Perks. Wish he would quit his gig. But here's a thought to hire a ring at the Burger King. Keep on some, don't come up prepared. I'll be here. But when he leaves here, he'll never be a household name. Unless someone poops on the red walk in. So now we sit in the studio spitting takes. Triple sidetracked by gifts of snakes. Toilet blew up in someone's face. Now it's super late for another break. 98.5. What did they hire you? Nobody knows. Back to the greatest state bumpkin. You know where the old man was humbled, then crumbled to something. I know about you. You went to St. Paul's, a private school. Dork, a podcast just for tools that you can't find on iTunes. Brother, what you gonna do? The Hulk ain't the only person. Worried that your situation will worsen. Sitting on your couch all day and jerking. Lots of questions, all uncertain. Wrestling's real, the moon landing's fake. These are two examples of plays and takes. Not a lie, Keefe's a guy who thought he should get football to try. Before he left Hobart, he was riding benches. Kinda like Zola without the stenches. Keefe for madness at 9:50. But remember, it's my show. Ow! Don't turn your mic on, cause it's a waste of time.
Keefe is an ass.
Time, unless it's sports up headlines.
Keith is an asshat.
Don't turn your mic on, cause it's a waste of time.
Keith is an asshat.
Don't waste your time unless it's sports up headlines.
Keith is an asshat.
Reductor is
asshat.
Think I can't rap? Asshat. Keeps going down.
Asshat.
I'll take your crown.
Asshat.
That's incredible.
It's the easiest one I've ever mixed. Like, he came in and did that in two takes.
I'll tell you, I really nailed it. I'm still stuck at night, you know, and Keith's going on this thing. I really knocked that one out of the park.
That's right. Keith sees the light of day, doesn't
he? What a prediction.
that one was the easiest one. But then there were people who came in, and it was just like, where are we going with this? And I think that Wiggy might have been the toughest of all of them. I mean,
what was his?
Oh, I mean, his is the
you didn't hear. You've never
one.
Heard no, the chocolate.
I mean, I'm sure I have. I just don't. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I have a clip in here called Wiggy Dry, and I don't know. I'm scared to play it because I don't know if this is truly his take with him swearing. I mean, I could almost tell Dan if he's ready with the dump button, then maybe. I don't
do it at your own peril, my friend.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
It's called. If Mike wants to listen to it later on, Wig Dash Dry, because it's him, you know, trying to get it right, and it didn't quite work out that well. But it was a ton of editing to make it ended up being. You know, that was the one. First up is Toucher and Rich.
Yeah,
one real sensitive, the other's a bit, which ended up being fantastic and one of my favorites. But yeah, that was not.
Nobody's safe. Nobody.
Taking it back old school. Yeah, yeah, yeah. About to kill all these whack ass rappers on 98 Mile. They ain't from Boston. I'm going to show you how we do it. This is old school.
I think
school.
He might have gone, for a full Nobody. Minute before he actually started.
Get him.
Nice.
Let's go. First up is Touchin' Rich. One real sensitive, the other's a bitch. Fred, you're from Detroit and a True Jets fan. But up in the beam, Belichick's your man. See Boston. Here's a place where we keep mad trophies in a case. So come here.
Yeah.
Let me introduce my fist to your face.
I could do the entire thing.
Yeah, no.
The bitch Rich, she understand. Give her a pass. She a Celtics fan. I mean, the entire thing I could do. And I guess there was a
part. Was I supposed to have dumped any of that?
No. Okay. No, at the end of it, because I remember we played it, and he said something in, like, Italian. And I remember, like, our program director was like, I think he might have said something pretty bad in Italian. I was like, really? Like, what are you doing, Wiggy? So, yeah.
Hey, like, I wasn't fact-checking that. I wasn't cross-referencing your Italian.
I know. I think we had to edit that one. But that, I think, was the toughest one to edit out of all of them. There was one, I think, that Adolfo did that just went
well,
so bad.
It's a very thankless job editing all those things, too. You know,
it's like fun, though. Like, I like that stuff. Like, to me, that I truly enjoy that. That's my happy place, like, doing, like, Pro Tools stuff like that. I love it. And Hardy's great at it, too. Wasn't all me. Hardy did a lot of those as well. And Hardy's fantastic at it as well. But it's, you know, but when someone came in, I almost don't mind. As long as they were trying, it was the ones, the people you had to drag to do it. And it wasn't very many of them. But the best one, though, the one that was truly my favorite, and I've told you this before, was when Mike Gorman came in to do his. And we're going to have Mike on in a minute. But, I mean, that was – the reason that one was so great was twofold. Was, number one, because he came in And not only did he record it, but he wanted to watch and be part of the entire like editing part of it and mixing it and all that. Like, he was fascinated by it. He's asking questions. I mean, he was all in. But then there was, of course, the moment where he records his thing and he goes, "Hey, Rich, you know, can we call Tommy? Can we get him in on this?" And I'm like, "Tommy, what? Huh?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, Tommy Heinsohn?" And he goes, "Yeah." So I was like, "Sure." So we called Tommy Heinsohn, and that's when, of course, Tommy, you know, added his part to his 98 mile thing. And it was hysterical because, you know, when the phone was answered, he was listening to some like old Western on television. Tommy, I was like, "Hey, who is it?
Gunsmoke's on.
Hey, all right, we're going to record that thing you was talking about." Sure. And he did it. It was one of my favorite. That's not only one of my favorite like 98 mile moments. That was one of my favorite like moments working at the station. That was really a cool thing. And for Heinsohn to be part of it, especially, you know, after he passed and stuff, you know, I listened to it, and it was just a really, really cool thing to do. As a matter of fact, I'll play that here. And when we come back, we will have the great Mike Gorman right after this.
Everybody, I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Heinsohn. Welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich, should I blast myself? Same old jokes, even worse is Fred. Man, don't know Dick, makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Sucking up to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now, throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mads, brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, a brother close to me.
Puckhead!
And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on, come on.
And that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, tell him, T, tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T, give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T, out.
Take that, 98, Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just feel like we're getting sick of it, bro. Obviously, we've been in a place the past couple of days we don't want to be at anymore. You know, and it's really on us to change it. So I feel like everybody brought a new attitude tonight.
Tatum letting the time tick away, under 1:49 now to play. Tatum all the way to the basket for two. And Tatum just saw that lane, attacked the lane, and finished with the left hand. Denver's going to take a timeout.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones in with us this morning. Man, they needed that last night. That was those two losses against Detroit and against the Wizards, that was about as bad of a spot as a team could be in. That was pretty low. And then last night you saw everything go about as well as it could. The bench did well. You had Jason and Jalen back doing their thing, and somehow they were able to contain that human bag of potatoes that Nikola Jokic is, which I heard a lot of talk on the broadcast last night with Scal, and of course, the great Mike Gorman about the Larry Bird comparisons that were thrown out there. Mike Gorman, was it like you were watching a reborn Larry Bird out there on the court?
Oh, don't get me in trouble like this. Don't do this to me. Seriously. I am Jokic to Adam's Larry Bird, okay? You're doing that rap? That's awesome, Adam. That's really good. You humbled me on that.
Wow.
You know, people people just get so upset when you mention Larry in comparison to anybody.
Of course.
You know, I'm going to speak for Scal, but I'm not trying to say Jokic is better than Larry. That'd be ridiculous. Even as good as Larry would be ridiculous. But does he remind you of Larry? Sure he does.
Yeah. Maxwell's still paying for his Dirk Nowitzki comparison of a decade ago, if you remember correctly.
No, Mike, it's as if the spirit of Tommy Heinsohn now lives inside of you. It's been transferred, you know, ever since it went from Steamsma was the great Bill Russell, and now all of a sudden we've got I actually understood what you were talking about.
I stand on better ground with Jokic than Steamsma though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Slightly different level of talent there. Is Steamsma even still in the league? Is he still playing?
No. What league? What country?
I wasn't quite sure. But
the thing, let me just throw one thing in there. This is just to piss some more people off. But Jokic is, he dominates the game offensively, yet his first inclination is to pass the ball. And that's where he reminds me of Larry the most. It's that Larry's first inclination was to involve other people and get a better shot. And then at the end of the game, you look down and Larry had 35. So that's kind of how I feel about Jokic. You watch and you say like, oh yeah, he's pretty good. And then you look at the box score and it's crazy. And I mentioned this on the air last night. And even Larry, and it never accomplished this, he had a triple double 2 years ago against Milwaukee in 14 minutes of action.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah. I love him.
That's unbelievable domination of the game.
Yeah, I can't think of a more graceless athlete who's just got to be infuriating to play against, because it's like almost all of his buckets look like mistakes. He just there's no real rhythm. He lumbers on the court, yet the guy just almost can do no wrong out there. And it just everything it looks like he's going to commit a bad foul. He doesn't. He's got to be impossible to defend, because how do you not foul against a guy that big? He's one of my favorite players in the league. And also because he kind of looks like just like a dude that shouldn't be out there. It's almost like they let some supersized fan just walk onto the court and play, and he dominates.
It's like that guy who comes to the Y and dominates. You don't know what he does for a living or whatever. He just shows up and is better than everybody else.
Yeah, no question.
He is. But let's get off him, because you've already buried my Twitter feed for about the next 2 weeks.
So, all right. So, but last night was obviously a game that this team needed. We've been saying that all morning. I mean, I can't – like. Let's just go back to that Wizards game, because – you know, the Pistons game was bad, but the Wizards one, there was a hint of lack of any kind of, like, it almost like they just stopped trying there near the end. And I saw it from guys like Jason Tatum, which I don't see a lot of. And I know there was a story that came out about how he's kind of struggling with, you know, post-COVID symptoms, and his breathing's not as great. He's not using an excuse. He was asked about it. But, did you get that feeling watching that Wizards game that it was almost just an effort problem and it wasn't really something wrong with the lineup that was thrown out there or anything else? It was more effort than anything?
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of Cool Hand Luke. You know, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Mm. And that's kind of what the Celtics have hopefully put behind them a little bit last night, but definitely had in those two games against Detroit and Washington. And that there was a failure to communicate. Whatever coach was saying during the timeouts in the pregame wasn't getting through to guys. There's a tendency on the part of Jalen and on the part of Jason to be a ball stopper, to have the ball come to them and then feel they have to go one-on-one on their man. It seems like a simple cure to say all you got to do is pass the ball, but those guys have to pass the ball, especially early in the game. They've got to involve other people. And then let the game come to them later as it goes on. If they start to press early, then I think there's a tendency for the other guys to kind of stand around and watch on the offensive end of the court. And then at the end of the game, you look down and Jalen's got 28 and Jason's got 28 and we lost by 5. That's what I think has to change. And those two guys have to be, I agree with Scal on this, those two guys have to be the assist leaders on this team as well as be the high scorers.
Are you seeing any evidence that the team is tuning out Brad Stevens? Because Gary Washburn floated that out there. I think it was on Monday.
He didn't more than float that out there.
Yeah.
Not as severe as what Gary said, but I think I understand exactly where he's coming from. Have I seen evidence that they have tuned the coach out? no, but I separate tuning the coach out, which means you definitely don't talk to him, and that's the end of that, or just not listening. Mine's being somewhere else. And I think there's a lack of focus, for a better way to put it, on this team over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I think they need to refocus. And the other thing I think is, Coach pointed this out the other day, is we have a tendency to overpraise this group of guys. I mean, they're good, and the young kids are, like, really good. But then you see them go up against veterans, and they don't look so great anymore. And I think this team has to play together as a unit, and especially as move the ball, has to have somewhere between 25 and 30 assists every night. Can't have 16, 17 assist nights, because they're just not that good. Are they a good team? Yes. Are they headed in the right direction? Yes. Do they have good young personnel? Yes. Are they ready to win a world championship right now? Not unless a tremendous number of things fall in their favor. No, they're not.
So not to change topics too abruptly, but you guys had Marcus Smart on the broadcast the other day, one of my favorites. And how was the Marcus Smart experience?
Oh, it was terrific. I love Marcus. He's my favorite Celtic in terms of a guy to talk to. I think he's straight. He answers your questions, sometimes to the dismay of other people. But, yeah, I'm a big Marcus guy. And I know there's probably maybe Jason, maybe Jalen are untouchables. I don't know if anybody's untouchable on this team. But I would like to think Marcus was. I'd have a hard time trading Marcus Smart, because I think you give up so much in terms of what he brings to the table, other than scoring points and getting rebounds. He's made it fashionable to pass the ball from the flat of your back on the court. We saw that with Tatum last night.
Mike, I'm of the mind that this team does need to add a piece to get back, even to get back to where they were last year. Who are you willing to deal to bring in the piece that's needed to make an impact here in the rotation?
Anybody, pretty much. I would be very hesitant to trade Jason or Jalen, but tell me who you're talking about on the other side of the trade.
Well, the guy I like, it's going to cost a ton. The guy I've become infatuated with this season is Vucevic in Orlando. I'd love to see the Celtics get him.
Yeah.
So as a rebounder and a much improved shooter?
Yes. And again, Danny came on this show and said, a couple of weeks ago, and said that his preference then was to bring in a guy shooting with size. And Vucevic has been great from the outside. As a matter of fact, he's in the middle of the best season of his career. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's not going to come cheap, either money-wise or compensation-wise, but I think for this season and a couple of seasons in the future, bringing him in would really help this team.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I think, again, I would like to know what you're giving up on the other side. Is Marcus Smart involved in that deal going the other way?
I don't know if you can make the salaries match without including Smart. I too love Marcus, but I don't know if you can match him any other way.
They need someone with attitude on this team. Marcus Smart is that guy.
I don't want to see Marcus go, but again,
I like these guys. Obviously, I'm a fan of Jalen and Jason, but I mean, every team needs that guy who's just right over the edge. And Marcus, right now, I'm looking at this team, and he might be the only guy who's kind of got that attitude. I mean, he used to have, like, Marcus Morris. He was a little bit, you know, edgy. Marcus Smart right now might be that only guy. And if you lose that, I don't think they can afford to lose that.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right, and I'm hoping they can match salaries to get a guy like that some other way. But I do think they need help if they want to get back to where they were last year.
Yeah, I agree with the I want to entertain all the trade talks I can and see what's out there. Harrison Barnes is another guy who has a certain amount of appeal depending upon the price. But it would take a lot for me to give up Marcus Smart, because forget about points and rebounds or anything else. Just attitudinally, what he brings to the team, the way he plays the game, the way he makes you play the game if you're out on the court with him, because you see the intensity with which he's playing. The Celtics need that, and I don't see anybody else in the roster who suddenly step in and fill that void. Were they to trade Marcus Smart, I think suddenly, and this is true with Vukovic, I think as good as he is a rebounder and offensively, we become a very soft team if we let Marcus Smart go out the door.
Yeah, no question. That's the perfect way to say it. Your team gets a lot softer if he's gone, and because I don't know where you're going to get that attitude from. And by the way, there was just because it was mentioned last night in an article that the Celtics have interest in him. I don't even know how you make it work because he's so expensive, and I guess, I don't know, they can figure all this out. But Andre Drummond's name's been thrown out there. You know the situation with him right now. I read the best thing about Andre Drummond last night, and I don't know who said it, but it was either a scout or it was a GM for another team that said, Andre Drummond's the type of guy that could give you 30 and 20, and it wouldn't affect whether your team won or lost in the least. And I just think that's the perfect description of that guy. And you've seen him play, and I think you weren't a fan of his, right? We've discussed this before, because his name's been thrown about in trades in years past.
Yeah, I'm not really like a fan of his, but at the same time, I look at where he's been, and he's never really had a chance to play with good guys, with a good team.
That's fair.
And I'd like to see how that might work out if the price wasn't too high. So, if Drummond's conversation was going on, I would want to be in that conversation to see what it might cost me. Because, again, if you look at his record, he's always played for bad teams. Give him a chance with a good team and see how he might play. And, again, the things that I noticed about watching him this year, and one time at least we saw him, he moves much better. He's not a bad dribbler. He doesn't turn the ball over. He just somehow doesn't affect the outcome of the game like you would think he would when you look at his numbers.
I know. It is astounding because his numbers are utterly ridiculous.
Off the charts. I mean, Hall of Fame numbers. Yep.
Yes, Hall of Fame numbers, and the dude can't help a team win a game at all. It's frustrating. All right, so you had Marcus Smart there. I just want to get back to him because when Marcus Smart sits down and does a game with you guys, you know, we've heard people attempt to do color commentary, and we've heard people who, you know, step right in and they do okay, and then we've heard people who have crashed and burned. Did you give Marcus any tips on how to be that guy? Because, you know, there might be some people who have sat next to John Wallach before during a broadcast who might need to hear some of your advice.
No, we laughed a lot about him doing it and about the fact that this could potentially be an audition tape if he were to have a career-ending injury. The thing I like about Marcus in that radio role, other than as a player, is, again, he's looking to laugh. I really like to deal with people who are looking to laugh.
Yeah.
And he is. He's looking to have a good time in the time that he's on the air. Yes, he wants to impart his knowledge. I thought he was great. He called on Celtics getting a 2-for-1 when Scal had just said they couldn't do it. He just kind of cut in and said, oh, yeah, we can. And they did.
Scal.
Again, I was impressed with him that way, that he was able to mix, again, laughing and kidding around about where he was, but actually give some insight into what was going on in the court. I would love to get him on again. I just wish he'd be back in uniform. We need him in uniform more than we need him in the TV booth.
There's no question. You know, speaking of that, you know who's become polarizing lately is Scal. Like Scal, like this year, I don't know what it is about this year, but people either love Scal or they're like angry at him. Have you sensed that? Like, and maybe it's because he's thrown some takes out there that were too hot to handle. I'm not sure, but I've always loved Scal on the broadcast. But there, have you heard any of this? It's either a love hate thing, which I guess means you're doing your job right, correct?
Yeah, I see it on Twitter a lot. I don't know why people are angry at him. I mean, I'm used to the fact that people either like you or they don't like you. They think you're good. They think you're full of beans. But they get angry. You bring up Scal's name. There's a whole bunch of people out there who get really angry. I don't know why. I find his analysis really good. I don't agree with it all the time, but he doesn't hold back. He wants the Celtics to win, but he's not a blind homer by any stretch of the imagination. I find Scal's commentary actually both insightful and enjoyable, but you're right. There's a group of people out there who are just, as soon as he opens his mouth, they start popping up on your Twitter feed saying, like, what? Give me a break. Get this guy out of here. Blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
Yeah.
Relax. Relax.
Mike, there was a guy who was so angry the other day at something that Scal had said that they copied me on all of them saying, Touch and Rich, you're to blame for his success. How dare you make a star out of Scal? Right. I was like, all right, man. Yeah. But I mean, as I said, it's like, I guess if you're polarizing and people are talking about you, you know what they say, obviously in our industry, that's a good thing. But I didn't know if you were hearing the other side of that because it's louder than it's ever been one way or the other.
Yeah, I remember the first job I had in radio was a radio station in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And the guy who was in charge of the radio station said to me, literally the first day, he said, Mike, if they love you, you'll make it. If they hate you, you'll make it. If they don't know who you are, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's pretty much the way it falls with Scal right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Very few people who are neutral on Scal.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I guess that's the way to succeed. You know, Stephen A. Smith didn't become... the highest paid guy at ESPN because he was making friends with everybody. So, you know.
That's, is Stephen A. the highest paid guy at ESPN?
He makes like a ridiculous amount. So Gruden, I think, was the highest paid when he was doing Monday Night Football. And I, what was it, $7 million a year? And I think Stephen A. is like $6.5 million or something like that. So yeah,
get out of here.
I'm not kidding you. He's like, he's doing a ridiculous.
That sounds, that's high.
Yeah, well, the, yeah, I think that's what he's getting.
No,
yeah.
I, well, no, I'm saying Mike seems like he thought that was a little high.
A little high. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Adam, I'll buy a little high. Yeah.
All right,
you
Mike.
Just
well,
a little better than me on the rap, too. Just a little. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, good having you on again. And let's hope that if they just, you know what, maybe we can get the ball rolling again. And maybe they can just knock out two quick wins at Atlanta. And then, you know, hopefully the whole season will come to a screeching halt when everything happens in Atlanta and everyone goes to Magic City and gets infected and then they have to stop the league once again. This is the worst. This All-Star game is the worst idea ever. It's just, I don't know why. They're jamming in the slam dunk contest at the halftime. It's going to be, it's going to be a mess, but let's.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. I agree with you. Keep an eye on John Collins tonight. I think he's I think he's a guy whose name might be floated around and, he and Trae Young allegedly have some issues in terms of getting along with each other, but keep an eye on him. That's
I'd take Collins on the Celtics in a second.
Yeah,
that
I love Collins.
Great.
Yeah, he's a good player. I think he would be
very good in Boston, too.
Yep, I agree. All right, Mike, good having you on, man. Once again, Mike Gorman, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, brought to you by Corona, official import beer of the Boston Celtics. You joined us, by the way, a couple minutes ago on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You are sponsored, sir.
Well, we got a beer sponsor. All right.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Mike.
I'll give you the address to have all those cases delivered, okay? When we get
you got it. Yeah. Absolutely. Coming your way. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
I'm not joking about that. I mean, people, Scal is like, it's interesting. Like this year, and he's been doing this obviously for a while. Maybe it's because people know he's permanent now.
So who is it? Who is it from? Is it from like the like hardcore fans who think he's too rough on the team, or like the other people who think he goes too easy?
You know what? I know what you're talking about, Rich. I've seen it online too. I just think they're upset because he's not Tommy.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Well, then that's then you know what? What are you going to do?
You know, there's nothing you can do except do your job. But I mean, don't you think that's the case? He's not Tommy.
That might be part of it. I don't know. I would actually like to know because, to be honest, when I find out about it, it's because I'm copied on some sort of Celtics Twitter anger about something Scal said on the broadcast.
So he's being too harsh?
No, I think it was almost like he's being too nonchalant and cocky about, you know, like dismissive.
I see.
Like, oh, well, I know what I'm talking about and you don't.
Right.
At least one of the things I said. I don't
know. I was an 11th man and you weren't. Yeah.
I'm kind of speaking out of my butt right now because I don't know and I don't get it. I've always thought Scal did a pretty good job, but there probably is some truth to now that he's not keeping the seat warm, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And
I think Scal's great, to be honest with you. And I don't understand what the criticism is, but I think if he's getting it, it just seems nonsensical at the beginning of all of this. I think the reason is because he's the permanent guy now, and Tommy Hines is not with us anymore.
617-779-0985. Why don't you like Scal?
I didn't say that.
Not you. No.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying I don't get why people don't like him, and maybe there's a perfectly acceptable reason. I find him fine on the broadcast. Yeah. I think he's been good. You know, I'll tell you who's been great is Perk. I love Kendrick Perkins. I've loved him for a while. And keep him in the coffin, man.
No,
don't
you know
change.
What? I found out what that was. I actually
big ass chair, but it's like a coffin.
He calls it his throne. He sits in his throne. It looks like a coffin. It's great.
I love Kendrick Perkins. On Twitter, he always ends everything. He'll put something out there that he thinks is like a hot take. Like, I told you guys about Kyrie Irving. Carry on. And he's like, oh, he's open to carry on. It's like, you know what? Indeed, I will continue doing what I was doing. Thank you, Kendrick Perkins. All right, 617-779-0985. Here's John Wallach with your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5, a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and we just had Adam Jones with us. We just had Mike Gorman on, and I was joking with him about how, you know, Scal has become polarizing, and this year seems to be the first year that I've heard this. You know, people either love Scal. I like Scal on the broadcast a lot. I've been an advocate of his for a while now, and but then there's some people who just can't stand him, and I was trying to figure out why that was. John came up with a theory that some of the listeners agree with. Like someone tweeted and said, "I love Scal, and but John is right. It's because Tommy is gone. Listening to Tommy and Mike was like listening to your grandpa's at the Easter table play gin, and now that same grandpa is conversing with your sister's fiance," which is kind of a funny way to look at it, that it's not Tommy Heinsohn. But I don't think that was as much it. There were some people who were just like really angry. And we had some people call in, and then there's some people on Twitter that what they seem to be saying is they say, "I think the reason is the vitriol at Scal is 100% based on the post-game spots he does with the studio crew and the BST crew. He talks down to everyone, and he just thinks he's better than his colleagues." They're saying that he talks down to the people on the post-game. They say his analysis is like, fine. It's so his demeanor towards the others.
Abby and like Forsberg.
Yeah, yeah. That's what, once again, these are people on Twitter. They said, "I've definitely noticed that Scal comes across as somewhat of an ass when he's on with Abby. Cringeworthy mansplaining is the way that was thrown on there."
Oh, jeez.
And once again, I don't, maybe now that I'll watch it, I'll see it in a different way. I'm not quite sure. And maybe that's something that, you know, he needs to hear. I'm not positive, but I've got no problem with the stuff. But that, I guess that's the reason. Am I missing that? Do you guys know what they're talking about? Can you tell that
I gotta be honest. I don't exactly catch a ton of the post game. We're usually on the air.
Yeah, Adam is on the air. I think I might watch more than Adam does. I kind of get it, but I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary to get really pissed off about. I mean, that's crazy.
I should find some of those tweets. People are just like super angry. Like, "You're responsible for his career." And I'm like, all right, man.
Yeah, okay.
Right, we are. But all right, so let's get to it's the way he changes his voice to talk to Perk that irks me, somebody said.
Oh, come on.
He changes his voice to talk to Perk? Right. What, is he talking like Mickey Mouse or what?
I don't know. What the hell are people talking about?
All right. Anyhow. Well, I'm not going to be able to. I'm going to watch it, and it's all I'm going to be thinking of, how he changes his voice. I'm not sure if he does, but I will watch that tonight. I got this text during the last break. So JC Prepper is somebody who has been tweeting us and our listeners and DMing back and forth. That is the Twitter account of what we believe is once again, it's not proven, but it sure as hell looks like a burner account for one Jack Easterby.
I often call him Nick at night. That's funny.
That's right. Of course, Mr. Easterby, who's the guy who used to work here with the Patriots, now is with the Texans, and he has gone in and basically ruined everything, if you believe what the writers out there are saying. And so anytime anyone critiques Jack Easterby on Twitter, this person would seem to go and attack them back. And some of our listeners have been tweeting back and forth, and they've been put on watch lists by this guy. Now, Mike Lockhart is one of the people that was put on a watch list on Twitter.
By
this account. Two watch lists. One is just called a watch list, and one was what was the other list called?
Needs more information.
They need more information about Mike Lockhart. And so can you read me the DMs back and forth that you guys had before this morning?
Yes, yeah. I'll start from the beginning. Yesterday after we talked about him, I wrote, you know, "Good morning, Jack." And he responded DM and said, "You should know by now I don't like being called Jack."
Okay, so you just tweeted him and he DM'd you.
Right, yes.
Okay. "You should know by now I don't like being called Jack."
Yes.
How would you know that? That's a strange assumption.
So, yeah, exactly. So then I wrote, "What should I call you?" And he said, "JC is more appropriate. You know so much about me, but you know nothing." And then I wrote back, "Enlighten me, please. Who are you?" And he said, I have never tried to hide who I was, which is, he's never said
you're under
a
fake name. Like, the JC is not your name.
Right. So it's weird. And then I just, you know, I went on and tried to play with him a bit, like, you know, who's this guy? And, you know, this guy is, you know, not saying who he is and all this stuff, but he didn't really play along. He was just like, look with an open mind, try to think about the things they say. See if you can point to the facts to support what they say, if they're expected, if you're just expected to trust them or if it's true or not.
Meaning like some of the media members.
Right, exactly. The national media members he really doesn't like. You could be on the right side of a historic moment in sports and media.
Nice.
And I said, JC, you're right. I want to be on the right side of history. Would you come on the show today and help us with the right side?
Uh-huh. Okay, perfect. So that was this morning.
Uh-huh.
I told Mike, I'm like, all right, well, if he's going and DMing back and forth with you, invite him on the show.
Right.
If he wants us to put the right information out there in quotes, and he wants us to be on the right side of sports history, whatever the garbage was he threw out there, I'm like, well, then invite him to come on and let him, you know, come out and say whatever he wants. He wants to set the record straight, then maybe he should do it. And I was like, there's almost less than 0% chance that he will say yes, because there's no way, especially if it is Jack Easterby, that he would do that. So you got a response, Mike Lockhart. You finally heard back.
Ooh.
What did JC Prepper say?
We both know I'm not allowed to do that. You
okay,
seem like
stop.
All right, it's him. It's him.
We
absolutely
have
it's him. God, yes.
We both know. No, we don't.
I have no idea who you are, buddy. I'm trying to ask you.
We both know I can't do that. Dude, it's you.
It's him.
Yeah.
No, we have not got a better confirmation than that. Right. It is him.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, what else did he say?
He says, we both know I'm not allowed to do that. Then what does he say?
You seem like a smart guy. Ask yourself this question. Who stands to gain more from the SI articles and ESPN reports? When did they come out? All of the facts are there for you, Mike.
Okay, just go back to him and say, I didn't know you weren't allowed to do that. Come on with us.
Okay.
All right, done. Next.
Just come on with us. What's your number? just say come on with us. Here's the number, and give him our one of our phone numbers.
Okay, done.
All right,
nice.
Or no, just say come on with us.
I didn't know you couldn't come on with us. Here's the number.
Okay,
please come on.
What
with
he
us.
Has to say.
He'd probably get back to me in 5 minutes. This person is
now he's listening.
If he wasn't listening before,
he's listening now.
Now he's up.
It's absolutely him.
Just say, you know what? We'll let you perform your comedy and impressions for 10 unbroken minutes. We'll let you just go crazy. It'll be the highest rated segment of our show.
I often call him Nick at Night. That's funny.
It is really funny. Tell him we'll let you do some deaf comedy jam on our show. Come on, Easterby comedy jam. You know? Laughs for Jesus.
We can park the car.
You can go park the car. Do all the impressions you want.
Do your parking bit. That'll slay.
All right. So let me know what he says. Now, I do guarantee that he will be tweeting us back.
We both know.
Yeah, we both know.
We both know I'm Jack Easterby. I mean.
All right.
So what else would be restricting him?
I'm sure we'll know something by the time we get back from commercial. But in the meanwhile, Billy Jaffe. Oh. If you want to talk about a team that is just absolutely slaying, despite, of course, their loss the other day, not a lot to complain about with the Boston Bruins. It's been a fun ride. We will talk to Billy Jaffe from Nesson right here after John Wallach's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.